الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. There are numerous benefits of reciting peace and blessings, Durood Sharif, upon the best of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam is reported to have said, Zayyinu majalisakum bis salati alayya. Decorate your gatherings, decorate your majalis, your gatherings. How? By sending peace and blessings upon me. And what will be the outcome of that? When you recite peace and blessings in a gathering, what will that result in? فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ عَلَيَّ نُورٌ لَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ The Prophet ﷺ gave the glad tidings and said that whoever recites Durood Sharif upon me, whoever recites peace and blessings upon me in a gathering, then that recitation of Durood Sharif upon the Prophet ﷺ will become light, will become nur for that person on the Day of Judgment. SubhanAllah. Viewers of Madani Channel, imagine on that day when people will be in all sorts of difficulties, all sorts of different trials and tribulations. It's mentioned that people will be sweating, people will be drowning in their sweat according to their sins. A mother will run away from her father. People will run to different Anbiya alayhim salam. The kuffar will want to be punished straight away. They won't be able to take the terrors of that day. There are glad tidings for those who recite Durood Sharif in this blessed hadith. That those who decorate their gatherings by reciting peace and blessings, inshallah azza wa jalla, on the Day of Judgment, that Durood Sharif, that recitation of peace and blessings, will become a light for that person. And it will become a means of salvation for him, so that he may be able to enter paradise easily. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to try and take advantage of the blessings mentioned in this hadith sharif. Ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we were covering the life, glimpses of the life of Sayyiduna Ali, and we have covered many aspects of his life which indicate that this person, this individual, he was a very great man, somebody who is a role model for those to come until Qiyamah. Inshallah, in today's episode we will be covering the martyrdom, we'll be covering the passing away of Sayyiduna Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. Now we must remember that everybody passes away. Whoever comes into this world, he passes away. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ Everybody will taste death. Everybody will go through this stage where he will have his ruh, his soul, extracted from his body. But not many people leave this world in a good manner, leaving behind a legacy, something to be followed. But what we can say about even the passing away of Sayyiduna Ali كَرَّمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَجْهَهُ الْكَرِيمُ is that his passing away taught us many lessons as well. Even in his martyrdom, we find many, many wisdoms. Inshallah, we will cover them. Now, Sayyiduna Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem, as mentioned in the previous episodes, that he was a very brave man. He was very courageous. One of the most courageous sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And in fact, he knew about his passing away. He already knew that he was going to be martyred. It is mentioned in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal that Sayyiduna Ammar bin Yasir radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, he reports that Sayyiduna Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem and Sayyiduna Ammar bin Yasir radiyallahu anhuma, they were present in a ghazwa dhil ushayra. They were present in this battle. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, shall I not tell you about those two people? Shall I not inform you about those two people who are the most wretched of all? who are the worst of all people. And they said, of course, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please tell us. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam replied, revealing the bestowment of knowledge of the unseen. Allah had given him knowledge of the unseen. News that none of us can comprehend normally. He said that the most wretched of people, the first one is he who cut the legs of the sacred she-camel of Sayyidina Salih alayhi salam. And O Ali, directly addressing Mawla Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajal kareem, O Ali, second is the one who will strike your head with the sword, and this striking of the sword will turn your beard into red with blood. Because of the flowing of blood, your blessed beard will become drenched in this blood, and it will turn red. So Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajal kareem, he had firm belief in whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So he accepted this. He knew that this was going to happen. It was just a matter of time. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has said it. We believe in him wholeheartedly. This will come about. And it's mentioned in Sawanih Karbala, a book written by the Khalifa of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah alayhi, Sayyid Muhammad Na'imuddin Murad Abadi Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He states that one of the most notorious men, one of the most evil men amongst the Khawarij, was Abdul Rahman ibn Muljam Muradi. And what he did on one occasion was he gathered other evil people like himself, and they reached an agreement to murder Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali, karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. And along with Sayyidina Ali, they had plotted to murder a few other Sahaba ikram, the likes of Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. So, they had plotted this evil plan. But what was the reason behind this? There was a reason behind this as well. The ulama state, and there is a hadith that is mentioned in the Al-Mustadrak, that Ibn Muljam fell in love with a Khariji woman. He fell in love with her. Lust overpowered him. And she said, I will give in, I will marry you. But it depends on two demands, two conditions. One of them, you give me 3,000 dirhams as my dowry. First condition, give me 3,000 dirhams. And the second condition, ma'adullah, is that you murder Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wa jalla. And this person, because lust had overpowered him, because he was blind, he could not see the haqq, the truth. He could not see that what he was about to do would lead him to everlasting destruction. He did not realize this. So he went ahead with it. It's mentioned that in the month of Ramadan, the 40th Hijri, 40th year after Hijri, Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wa shul kareem, as per routine, he was about to break his fast, perform iftar. And his routine was that one night he would open his fast at the residence of Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an. Another night he would open his fast at the blessed residence of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. And one night he would open it at Sayyidina Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala an's house. This was his routine. Now, he would not eat very much. He would not eat more than 3 morsels, it's mentioned. And he also expressed the reason, mentioned the reason why he wouldn't eat much. He said, it feels good to meet Allah Azza wa Jal with an empty stomach. Allahu Akbar. Dear brothers in Islam, viewers of Madinah Sham, today in a society when there is food culture, people are always looking to find new tastes just to satisfy their desires. They ask each other, have you tried that meal at that place? Have you tried the food over there? So it's like a culture that is possessed. All they want to do is taste the latest foods and satisfy their nafs, their ego. But look at our pious predecessors. Look at Mawla Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He's saying it feels good to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on an empty stomach. So he did not eat more than 3 morsels. And it so happened that on the night of his martyrdom, as he walked out the house, he looked at the sky. And he said, this is the very same night I was promised. So referring back to the statement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that, oh Ali, one of the most evil people is the one who will martyr you. And he remembered that. And he knew. Because the awliya-i kiram, remember the sahaba-i kiram, are afdalul awliya. They are the greatest awliya from this ummah. Even the awliya, via the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, are able to find out news of the unseen. They know what is about to happen in the future. And this, the ulama state, is a mu'jiza of that Prophet alayhi salam. That the awliya Allah of his ummah are able to know of unseen knowledge. And Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem knew that his time was close. He was about to be martyred. It was the Friday night. The ulama differ of the date. Either 17th or 19th of Ramadan al-Mubarak. 40th Hijri. Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, he woke up at dawn. The mu'adhin approached, the one who gives adhan, and he was calling as-salah, as-salah, trying to wake people up for salah. Now, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala headed towards the masjid. He headed towards the masjid to offer salah. While he was on his way to the masjid, he was also calling people for salah, nekiki da'wat, inviting towards goodness. Whenever the sahaba found an opportunity to earn reward, to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they did not even think twice. So he's calling people towards the salah. He's on his way towards the masjid himself. And he's calling them towards the masjid as well. What you like for yourself, you should like for your fellow believers as well. Now Ibn Muljim, he attacked Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, came out of the blue. It was a dark night. It states that after 2 days, just 2 days, within 2 days, Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, he breathed his last. He passed away. And he died as a martyr. A shaheed. Somebody who is slain in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now just ponder for a moment. A shaheed, we hear from the ulama, we hear in narrations that before his blood even touches the ground, he sees his place in paradise. This is a normal martyr. But what about that individual who is the fourth khalifa of the Muslims, the son-in-law of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, somebody who sacrificed everything for his beloved alayhi salam? What do you think his rank would be in the hereafter? What do you think his status would be in the hereafter? Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to shower mercies upon Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem and forgive us for his sake without accountability. Ameen. How did Ibn Muljam meet his end? This stupid individual, this foolish individual, who for a moment of lust, just so that he may satisfy his desires, he put everything on the line. His whole life on the line. His hereafter he destroyed. Why? Because of a woman. Allahu Akbar. It states that Sayyidina Imam Hassan, Sayyidina Imam Hussein, and Sayyidina Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu an, they bathed Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. They buried their blessed father, Hassanin Kareemain radiallahu anhu, they buried their blessed father in Darul Imarat Kufa at night. And how did Ibn Muljam meet his end? What did the people do with him? They were angry. He's just gone and martyred the fourth Khalifa of Islam. It says that they cut the body of this individual into pieces, placed them in a basket, and set them on fire. The punishment did not stop there. Ibn Muljam, he thought he would get away with this crime. He thought he would get away with the murder of Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, a true slave and servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a chosen slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No way. It is mentioned in Sharh al-Sudur that an individual, he was passing by the jungles and there he saw a monastery, and in the monastery was a monk. He states that I said to this monk, حدثني بأعجب ما رأيت في هذا الموضع. Narrate to me, tell me, what is the most strangest thing that you have seen in this area? What is the most strangest thing that you have seen? And the monk replied, one day I saw a bird, like an ostrich. Bird, a white bird. It was like an ostrich. and it was vomiting different body parts. It began to vomit the head, then the feet, then the shin. And whenever it would vomit these body parts, these limbs, they would form a human body. And as soon as they would form this body, the bird would start pecking and attacking this individual until it was into pieces again. It would turn to limbs. And this continued. This continuously happened. And one day, I said to the bird, سَأَلْتُكَ بِحَقِّ اللَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ. I ask you by the right of the one who created you, by the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you do not leave, you do not go away until you allow me to ask you a question. And tell me about his story. Why is this happening to him? Why do you keep attacking him? Why do you keep vomiting him out? Why this punishment? I want to know. I'm very curious. Why is this happening to him? The bird replied in an Arabic accent. Ana malakum min malaikatillah muwakkilun bihadha aljasad. I am an angel from the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have been appointed on this man. Why? Because of the sin he has committed. This is my job now, to continuously attack him and pull him through this painful punishment. The monk states, I turned to the man and I said to him, Ya hadha rajul, al-masi'u ila nafsi. O man, the one who has wronged himself, ma qissatuka? What is your story? Wa man anta? Who are you? And the man replied, Ana Abdul Rahman bin Muljam. I am Abdul Rahman bin Muljam, qatilu Ali radiyallahu anhu. I am the killer of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. I am the one who was responsible for martyring him. And when I martyred him, and my soul was placed in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my book of deeds were given to me, and I saw what I had done, then this punishment was appointed upon me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed this angel to punish me until the day of judgment. And this is what you are seeing. The bird is continuously punishing me. And then he went quiet. And this continued, the bird continued to attack him. So my dear brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, we learn that Ibn Muljam thought he got away with it. He thought that he had obeyed his lover and that he had done something good, that he had done something tremendous. Ma'adallah. He had actually done something that earned the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not pleased at all with this action of his. And you have just heard how he met his end. He was burnt. His body was chopped into pieces. And then on top of that, this punishment will continue until the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. Now why did he do it? If you reflect and ponder carefully, he did this because of his love for a woman. He killed the Khalifa of Islam because he loved a woman. Lust overpowered him. He wanted to fulfill his desire. The Prophet ﷺ had warned us already that An-nisa'u haba'ilu shaytan. That women, they are the tools of shaytan. They are the toys of shaytan. Shaytan uses women to make people go astray. And people end up doing the most foolish of things. And Ibn Muljam, as you just said, he was responsible for ending the life of the noble Sahabi of the Prophet ﷺ, Sayyidina Ali, karramallahu ta'ala, wajhahu al-kareem. And this was just the beginning of the legacy. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala gave his life for the beloved alayhi salatu wasalam, for the deen. Any time, any opportunity to sacrifice, the Sahaba Ikram took this opportunity with both hands. And this continued in his pure lineage. Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, the elder one of his sons, he was also poisoned. He was martyred in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who doesn't remember the sacrifice of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, when he took his family, when he took the young children, the blessed women of the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the way from Medina Sharif to Kufa. And we all know the attachment they had to Medina Sharif. The blessed grandfather, the noble Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, was resting. The attachment was so strong, but they knew when the deen requires sacrifice, if we are not going to give it, then who will give it? They set an example for the whole Muslim Ummah. And this continued. So my dear brothers in Islam, there are many, many lessons to be learned from the martyrdom of Sayyidina Ali. Karamallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. Today, Islam requires sacrifice from us as well. And what sacrifices Islam require? That we give time in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We spread the deen. We impart knowledge to others. Our Muslims are in a difficult state. We need to help them. So my dear brothers in Islam, we need to take inspiration from this. We need to try and follow the footsteps of our honorable, pious predecessors. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, if we are successful in doing so, even a tiny bit, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our little effort, then we'll be saved in both worlds. We will have an easy life here, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, in the hereafter, we will also attain ease. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout this series, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we briefly touched upon the life of one of the most loyal Sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the most loyal companions, somebody who was so close to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We heard from the beginning how he was brought up in the auspicious lap of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From a young age, he saw the characteristics of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He was fortunate enough that the first thing he saw was the beautiful appearance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave him a lot of attention, taught him a lot of things. And we also heard how he accepted Islam at the mere age of 10. Such a young age, 10 years of age, Mawla Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, his heart became filled with iman, with light of faith. And thereafter, and we heard about various other attributes belonging to this great Sahabi. We heard about how he turned away from the world. Just like the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who is the king of both worlds. But he turned away from this world. Adopted a life of simplicity. Zuhud. We mentioned the Zuhud of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. How he turned away from the world. His abstinence. How he, whenever he gained money, whenever he gained anything, he would give it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had his eye on the hereafter. We heard about how brave he was. We heard about he was ever willing to sacrifice himself for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And especially in the Battle of Uhud, when he placed his life on the line just for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam accepted this sacrifice of his. We also covered in this series about the blessed marriage of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu with Khatun Jannat, Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala. The pure lineage that appeared through that marriage. Sayyiduna Imam Hasanain Karimain radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. How Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala and his knowledge, he was a very knowledgeable Sahabi. The Sahaba Ikiram alayhi ridwan, they would turn to him when they were ever in difficulty, when they could not solve a problem. In fact, Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his famous words, لَوْلَا عَلِيٌّ لَهَلَكَ عُمَرٌ. If it was not for Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu, in one particular moment, it was difficult to solve a problem, Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu aided and helped. And he said, if it was not for Ali radiallahu anhu, Umar would have been destroyed. This was the reliance, the dependence of other Sahaba ikram on the knowledge of Sayyiduna Ali karamallahu ta'ala wa jalla. Why wouldn't it be? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنَا مَدِينَةُ الْعِلْمُ وَعَلِيٌّ بَابُهَا. I am the city of knowledge. And Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu is the door to that city. أَنَا دَارُ الْحِكْمَةُ وَعَلِيٌّ بَابُهَا. I am the house of wisdom. And Ali radiallahu anhu is the door of that house. We also covered about how Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu, he had immense love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you love somebody, you obey them. Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he learned how to obey the Prophet ﷺ from the Qur'an Sharif itself. The Qur'an teaches us the manners, the adab of this court, the court of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are not to raise your voice before him. You are not to disturb him in any way. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he was a perfect example of somebody who showed great love and obedience to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today we heard about the martyrdom, which also has many lessons for us. Many, many lessons that we must give sacrifice. If you want this deen to reach those who are to come after, the next generations, if you are to keep the deen alive, then we must follow the example of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. We must try and emulate his life. We must try to follow in his footsteps. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, if we do so, then like I said before, we will gain success in both worlds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in this course, help us in this way. And may He help us to achieve success in all our goals. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to follow these shining stars of guidance. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, my sahaba are like the stars. Whomsoever you follow from them, you will be guided. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to follow Mawla Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد وعلى آله.